I'm gonna ride the world, I gotta find. thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as one. And I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. About the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, peace train sounding louder.
Ride on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh. Come on, the peace train. Yes, peace train, holy roller. Come bring your good friends too, 'cause it's getting nearer, it soon will be with you. Come and join the living, it's not so far from you. And it's getting nearer, soon it will all be true. Oh, peace train sounding louder. Crying lately, thinking about the world as it is. Why must we go on hating? Why can't we live in bliss? 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. Oh, peace train sounding louder. Come on, the peace train. Yes, peace train, holy rolling.
Everyone jump up on the peace train.
Ooh, ooh,
ooh. Come on, come on, come on.
Yes, come on, peace train. Hey, yes, it's the peace train.
This is Brian Kernahan, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford 91.5 FM, Tufts Educational Radio.
$1 million
If I had $1 million
buy buy you furniture for your house.
Maybe a nice Chesterfield or an Ottoman.
And if I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a K car.
A nice Reliant automobile.
And if I had $1 million, I'd buy your love. If I had $1 million,
I'd build a tree fort in our yard.
If I had $1 million,
you could help, it wouldn't be that hard.
If I had $1 million,
maybe we could put like a little tiny fridge in there somewhere.
You know, we could just go up there and hang out.
Like open the fridge and stuff and there are already foods laid out for us with little pre-wrapped sausages and things.
Mm.
They have pre-wrapped sausages, but they don't have pre-wrapped bacon.
Well, can you blame them?
Yeah.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a fur coat.
But not a real fur coat, that's cruel.
And if I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you an exotic pet.
Yep, like a llama or an emu.
And if I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you John Merrick's remains.
Ooh, all them crazy elephant bones.
And if I had $1 million, I'd buy you.
Crafted.
Of course we would. We just eat more.
And buy really expensive ketchups with it.
That's right. All the fanciest Dijon ketchup.
Mm.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a green dress.
But not a real green dress. That's cruel.
And if I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you some art.
A Picasso or a Garfunkel.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a monkey.
Haven't you always wanted a monkey?
If I had $1 million, I'd buy you.
Rich.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to a very irregularly scheduled special set of the normal Friday 6 to 7 alternating show, but today, just out in the middle of the ether here at 8:24. And you all along. My name is Pete, and I will be with you for the next hour, or as long as the robots allow me to have the time. I hope all of you are enjoying this beautiful weather that is completely unseasonable and confusing. I know that I'm just confused by the fact that I'm here in the daylight. Usually I'm here very early before dawn. It's a pleasure to finally get to be able to be here in the big time. Big time. And with that, let's get going with something besides me. Here's a little Lee Hazelwood for you.
And you wake up one morning and you say, I feel good. I don't miss her. I can live without her. And you soon learn that time will come, but it wasn't that day. A bird can fly on just one wing, but then why should he? Where there's sky, there must be rain. Where there's you, there's me. So do it all, get it done. Be all there is to be. Then wrap yourself in something warm. Come on. Come on. Come on home to me. Love can die and never know what it might have been. You and I will never know until we try again. So do it all, get it done. See all there is to see. Then wrap yourself in something warm. Come on. Come on. Come on home to me.
Set It's a selfish way to lose. The way you lose these wasted blues. These wasted blues. Tell me that it's nobody's fault. Nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault. Nobody's fault but my own. It's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. When the moon is a counterfeit, better find the one that fits. Better find a selfish way to lose. The way you lose these wasted blues. These wasted blues. Tell me that it's nobody's fault. Nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault. Nobody's fault. Nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault. Nobody's fault but my own.
Doesn't last all these. sad now that she's gone. I've been loving that woman too long. There's no place to go, cause my friends have all moved. Got nothing but setting the sun. Got tired of crying. Guess I'm moving alone. My bed is so empty and my heart has grown cold. Guess I'll just die before I grow old. Place is untidy, that's cause I ain't done my dirt. I've just grown tired of thinking. Got tired of crying. Guess I'm moving alone.
Okay, we just heard from George Harrison. We just heard from Jethro Tull with Move On Alone from, was it their first or second album? This was. I bet you didn't think that was Jethro Tull. That's the only song off a Jethro Tull major studio release that Ian Anderson is not the singer on. That was Mick Abrahams, who did maybe even a better song, a better version of that with Blodwyn Pig. This was back when they, Jethro Tull, their first couple albums before their proggy side started bursting through, had a really bluesy sound, and I actually really loved those first couple albums far more than I enjoy the rest of their catalog, which, you know, I can take. Before that, we heard George Harrison with All Things Must Pass from his epic two-album post-Beatles work, All Things Must Pass. That's an album I came to way too late in my life. And if you don't, if you haven't soaked it all in, spend some time with it. It's a long album, but he really just kind of gets it all out there after the Beatles. A lot of those songs were intended to be Beatles songs. And George just took his toys and went home. Good for him. Before that, we had Beck's Nobody's Fault But My Own from Mutations, 1998. And we started off with Lee Hazelwood and his... only Lee Hazelwood can start a song like that. Come On Home to Me from Requiem for an Almost Lady. The funny thing is, I usually come in here at 6 o'clock in the morning, before 6, and I can talk. Today, 8:41, can't speak for the life of me. Well, in any case, we've got The Police behind me right now with Death Wish from Regatta de Blanc, which I, nope, I'm wrong. See, this is what happens when you get the magic of live radio here at Drive Time. I'm not usually on during drive time, and I think you can tell. No, I was right. It's Regatta de Blanc. Okay, well, we're going to go forward with something that works well. That is not me speaking. Instead, play some music. There's already something wrong with this next song, but it's by design. And you don't have to call up and tell me what's wrong with it, because it's intentional. This is Stereolab.
Sit-ins. but still saw himself as a rebel. In his freshman year, he drove to Manhattan on Thanksgiving. It was a long trip, more than 14 hours. The car was packed with students. Their first stop was a service area just outside Cleveland. They sat at the counter of a Howard Johnson's restaurant looking at a sign that listed more than 50 kinds of ice cream. And to the amusement of his friends, he asked for even more exotic flavors. "Could I please have a broccoli mint apple pie cobbler? No, wait, I think I'd prefer the orange sunburst chicken nut fudge crunch. Or perhaps the pistachio fried egg okra delight with the dehydrated applesauce topping and stewed lungs." It started as an accident. There was a stack of brownies on the counter wrapped in cellophane. He took one and meant to pay for it, but realized on his way back to the car that he'd forgotten. Rather than go back, he unfolded the cellophane and ate it. At the next service area, he stole two more brownies to share with his friends. At the third stop, he borrowed a purse from one of the girls, held it in his lap at the counter, filled it with a dozen brownies from the display platter, and passed it back to her. Finally, just outside New York, he emptied an entire platter of brownies into his book bag. The restaurants were so busy that no one noticed. As they drove, he and his classmates munched on the chocolate. But they could only eat so many, and he soon found himself with a surplus. By the time he got back to college, he'd accumulated so many brownies, he thought he'd build something out of them. But he didn't know what. All he knew was that he needed more. So whenever he drove home for vacations, he stopped at every Howard Johnson's coming and going to steal as many brownies as he could. And over a period of a year, he amassed two steamer trunks full. The brownies got hard and stale. He banded them together, the way they stack money in bank heist movies. Eventually, his brownie collection became famous. Students from all over the campus came to look at it. His only problem was that, by next fall, the brownies began to stink up his room. The odor of stale chocolate was in his clothes, his shoes, his hair. He couldn't stand the smell and decided to get rid of them. But he didn't want to just throw them out. He wanted to do something whimsical and original to feed his reputation as a campus legend. Finally, he came up with an idea. He'd return them. So that Thanksgiving vacation, he placed one of the trunks in his car and set out on the journey home with a new sense of mission. Now, every time he stopped at a Howard Johnson's, he would fill the pockets of his shirt, overcoat, and pants with brownies, walk in, sit down at the counter, and while he sipped a Coke, furtively empty his pockets, adding his own stale brownies to those displayed on the platters in front of him. Soon, all the students knew of his project. He was the talk of the college. They thought it was a great idea, and they were all behind him. Both Thanksgiving and Christmas went well. He managed to return 1.5 trunks of brownies because he and his friends stopped at every service area in both directions between Cedar Rapids and New York. Then, during Easter, he arrived at the first Howard Johnson's rest stop, his pockets filled with the dried chocolate squares, but the brownie platters were gone. He was stunned. Were they onto him? He looked around, half expecting to be seized by security guards, when he noted, with relief, that the brownies had been moved to the candy counter in front of the cash register. It was too risky to add his stolen brownies to the stacks in front of the cashier, so he sat down at the counter and ordered dinner. When he finished his meal, he polished his plate with his napkin and, holding the plate on his lap, stacked his brownies, Howard Johnson style, on it, put it back on the counter, paid the check, and left. At the next plaza, his friends helped him. They argued heatedly with the cashier, claiming they'd been overcharged, while he reached into the deep pockets of his overcoat, drew out dozens of stale brownies, and placed them on the shelves over the lollipops, caramello bars, and maple sugar people. And by the summer, he managed to return every brownie he'd stolen. And it wasn't long before Howard Johnson's restaurants were converted into cafeterias with pay toilets and cheap air dryers in the bathrooms. And not long after that he saw them closing down. Although he he realized it was because of the expanding fast food industry. The McDonald's, Burger King's, Pizza Hut's, Taco Bell's, Kentucky Fried Chicken outlets, and all the rest. He felt a bittersweet sense of victory. He knew he played his small part in the decline of a great American institution.
Thank you. hammer to it all. I took a hammer to it all.